Focused on God now. We're about to do very quick business in the spirit. Very quick, very quick, very quick business. We don't have time. It doesn't take God eternity to do that which is eternal. And not everything is communicated cognitively. There are certain things that are transmitted as a body of spirit. There is a dimension of the spirit that you can never learn, no matter how theologically accurate you are. It takes the spirit of revelation to bring you into the reality of those dimensions. Now you lift your hands toward heaven right now and ask for a fresh ministration of the spirit. Most of you have been educated in the things of the spirit. Most of you have studied a lot of things, but it's beyond the powers of theological intelligence. It has to do with the supply of the spirit. And even though we do not have time tonight, all we need is an interpretation of the spirit, the interpretation of the life of God. If you can make contact with the spirit that is eternal, everything that is in God can be communicated in a second. It's a supply of the spirit. It's a supply of the spirit. It's the supply of the spirit. Is the supply of the spirit. Come on, go ahead and ask for an impartation of the spirit.
Sana na te ka buke, Hey! glory is coming upon somebody's chest. A word of glory, a word of glory, a word of glory. You are about to carry the glory of the Lord, the glory, the glory, the glory realm, the glory realm of the anointing. The glory realm of the anointing is descending on somebody like a weight. It's like a weight. Touch it now. Touch it now. Touch it now. Touch it now. If a Tatari in a fire, if it's in the Nikita Valley, Kapanda the day, if he's a Zobe Tatali, Arina Nata, Baluta, Taliga Ta, if it's in the Zuzura, Tahia Tata. E lindi baga baga bono, e riada a teto, e prendina suzu la tatai. Haia, haia, haia. E me le le pote bebo sate. Ina da di da di da 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 da. E li la di mi di da di da di mi di na di na. E li 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 la li. E la 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 la. Ira ni na ni ra de. Atapina dina 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 orida da 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 da
Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Father. Just lift your hands toward heaven. Lift your hands toward heaven. Just be still for a moment. Be still for a moment. Be still for a moment. Those who are on their knees, you don't need to rise. Just be still. At any point you are, any posture you will sustain. So long as the Lord can talk to you, it's okay. Just ask the Lord to speak a word to your heart now. Most of you have wondered whether God speaks to people now. You are not even sure whether it's real. You've never had an experience with God. I want the Lord to touch somebody now tangibly. To break doubt forever from your life. Forever. Somebody is about to hear the audible voice of the Holy Spirit. The audible voice of the Holy Spirit. It will break doubt forever. Precious Holy Spirit. Precious Holy Spirit. Right now, Lord, I ask that you whisper to their hearts. That whisper from eternity. That brings men to a spot of perfect conviction of your reality and your essence. That ends every doubt and every argument. Lord, speak to them now. Speak to them now, Lord. Let the weight of doubt dissolve forever. 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 Lord, speak to them now. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, precious Holy Spirit. Somebody is about to hear an audible voice on your left ear. An audible audible voice, as if somebody just spoke to you. Yes, Lord Jesus, thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you. Breathe upon us, Lord, and speak to them. Audibly. Let the left ear open to hear the voice of the Spirit. Now, in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. It's done. Yes, Lord. We give you praise. We give you honor. We give you glory. In Jesus' precious name. Look at me. Who is that person that heard God? Just wait. You don't need to step forward. Who is the person? Can I say correct? No, you are a hearer of God. You are a hearer of God. You heard God? Just wave your hand. Let me see you quickly. I needed somebody to hear God audibly. Is there anybody on this left row? Is there anybody in this middle row? You heard the Holy Spirit. Anybody here? You heard God. Somebody should have heard God now. Is there anybody? It can't be you. It can't be you. It shouldn't be you. You hear God virtually at will. Okay, everybody stand up. Those kneeling down, maybe they are still under the influence of the Holy Spirit. I have just a 25 minutes teaching to do. And then do a little impartation for 5 minutes. And then we'll be out of here. Is everybody up? Those who are burdened in the Spirit. Anybody under the yoke of the Holy Spirit? All the burdened people. Okay, everybody's up now. You heard God on this row. Can I see you? Somebody have heard God. I sense that energy. And it should not be Reverend Hughes. Anybody on this row heard God? Is anybody on this row heard God? Okay, this lady, you heard God? Is the power of God so strong on you? Okay, she can't stand. Alright, when we are done, we'll hear what you heard from the Lord. This obviously you cannot. It's difficult for you to stand. God bless you. Be seated. Let me talk to you for 25 minutes. And then we'll pray. The devil has fought this meeting. I pray that the Lord will do what he wants to do tonight. I was here on Wednesday. We had all kinds of issues and it became literally impossible for me to share the word of God. And yet, we came today only to find a multitude outside. And I was told some secular organization at the hall. Don't know what they were doing. But the little time we have, I believe the Lord will do something tangible in your life that will transform you forever. You see, we are not lecturers. We are not lecturers. When we share the word of the Lord, the Spirit that furnishes us with the inspiration is transferred. So primarily, our objective is not necessarily to educate you, even though you will be educated in the course of the ministration. Our objective, thank you, is to ensure a transference of spirit. Because that's the only thing that sustains the capacity to alter your life for good. In the operation of spirits, they are not so interested in you knowing about them. They are not so interested in you knowing about their operations. Spirits have an ambition, and the ambition of spirits is to colonize your territory, your world, and your realm, so that which they have in mind, your life,
may become the channel and the gate through which they can express the things they have in mind. The desire of spirits is to dominate the visible creation. But unfortunately, according to the strategic design of this realm, spirits don't sustain the legality to function in this realm. It's just like you are living, most of you who are students and you are supposed to spend 4 years in Uni Agri. You are now told everything you need to say, it's your friend that will say it on your behalf. Do you know how frustrating it will be like? When you want to laugh, it's your friend that will laugh on your behalf. When you want to smile, it's your friend that will smile on your behalf. When you want to talk, it's your friend that will talk on your behalf. Everything you want to do, your expressions, the totality of your expression, will only be trafficked through that your friend that will walk with you at every time. You will now discover that relationship with that your friend is indispensable. Because if you will live your life, then that your friend must be the only channel through which your life can find expression. That is the condition that spirits have found themselves. Their greatest desire is to find expression in this visible creation. But the visible creation is separated from their dimension. And the only gate and channel through which they can find manifestation in this realm is through the vessel of human vessel, of mortals. That is why spirits are concerned about you. That is why spirits speak to you. That is why spirits communicate to you. The idea is not just to educate you. The idea is to get you become a conductor of their realities. So when God is dealing with you, He's not primarily interested in educating you. That's why most of you take pride in knowing so much about God. It does not strike a chord in eternity. Knowing so much about God does not make you relevant in heaven. What will make you relevant with God and in eternity is the degree to which your life becomes a channel through which God is able to manifest His will and His purpose. And that is the definition of life. Unfortunately, not many persons are living like that. And it is for this wise that the doctrine of the Holy Spirit becomes very important. Because God can only be known and experienced by the Holy Spirit. Without the Holy Spirit, it is impossible for God to be known. It is impossible for God to be contained. And it is impossible for God to be expressed. So, as difficult as it is, the Holy Spirit must have to be known, and your life must have to become one with the Holy Spirit. Because, like I said, the desire of spirit is for their reality to be manifested. If God will be manifested in this world today, then somebody must be the channel through which God will be manifested. And even if you are available as a vessel, if you don't know the Holy Spirit, your yieldedness will be a waste. Your knowledge about God will be a waste. The Holy Spirit is the only means by which the essence of God can be experienced and communicated. And that is why the Holy Spirit becomes the most important personality in all of the realms of God. Are you with me? There are many of you that are students of the Bible. You read the Bible, and some of you take so much pride in quoting scriptures. But quoting scriptures will not change your world. Everything you do, everything you say, no matter how spiritual it is, the power it has to make any change in this world is the measure of the spirit that you can traffic. There are few people on earth that are trafficking spirit. Very few people. There are many talkers, many preachers, but very few are trafficking the spirit of God. When you see the world plunging into darkness, it is because men have become perfect conductors of demonic entities. Why they have become insulators of the dimensions of God? Because they don't know the Holy Spirit. You may think it's about an elaborate syllabus. Spirit don't need a syllabus. What they need is to get you and to walk through you. Have you looked at your campus in recent times? Have you noticed that some people are very intelligent, hardcore prostitutes? Where did they receive the lectures from? They have only been in relationship with demonic spirits. Have you looked at your campuses? Some have become terrible cultists. Back in the days when we were here, around 2008 to 2010-11, we had boys that were executioners. With 4 years on campus, some of them have killed over 25 persons. Where did they learn it from?
they were in league with spirits. They were never trained in the art of killing. None of them were in the military. None of them were trained anywhere. But they had intelligence, communicative intelligence with spirits that have to do with death. So their life became an extension of spirit. You may call yourself a Christian and you may pride in it. But if God is not traveling through your life to affect you and your family, what you are calling is a title, is a waste. It does not have a relevance where it counts. Most of us are in church, but we are agents of darkness. Because our life is a conduction of the multifaceted dimension of the demonic realm. Have you noticed that demons manifest through our dress? They manifest through our words. Where are we taught those things? Because it is the intelligence of spirits possess humankind and to traffic their dimensions through them. God is in need of invading Uniagri. But the question is, where are the vessels? Fellowships everywhere. Multitudes of people parading different churches. But our world is pointing into darkness. Where are the vessels? There are few that know the Holy Spirit. The knowledge of the Holy Spirit is the most significant knowledge you will ever have in this life. I speak of knowledge. I'm not thinking about mental knowledge. I'm not thinking about talking about cerebral intelligence. I'm talking about experiential, intimate knowledge of a person. The Holy Spirit. Most of you take it for granted. Because you have a hope that when you graduate from school, you are doing very well in your academics. And life will be better. Some of you have confidence in uncles and relatives. So you think it's about excelling in life. There is no success in this life except as your life becomes a gateway through which God can be known. Because at the end of it, most of you may die at your prime. Most of you may die at your old age. It doesn't even matter when you die. The most important thing is, did your life translate to an impact on earth? God can give you a 300 years. It will be 300 years of more pain in hell. Because the longer some of you live, if you don't know the Holy Spirit, you will cause many others to go into sin. Have you checked your life in recent times? How many persons have you impacted positively? It is a revelation of the kind of spirit that is a master over your life. Today we need to come to an understanding of the knowledge of the Holy Spirit. Many say they are preachers, but they don't know the Holy Spirit. So which God can they witness? Which God's dimension can they traffic? We have many people talking in arrogance, but our world is not changing. What is the challenge? There is a problem in our relationship with the Holy Spirit. And the problem is the problem of the ignorance of the presence of the Holy Spirit. Many don't know Him. You may talk about Him. You may do a theological exegesis about Him. But it doesn't mean you know Him. Because knowing a spirit is an experience. The knowledge of a spirit is an experience. It's not a theological knowledge. It's an experience. Who is the Holy Spirit? And why is He so important? Jesus, the Son of God, He came from heaven. His body was given to Him, was prepared for Him. His spirit is the Spirit of God. Everything about Jesus came directly from heaven. But Jesus had no life except as He lived by the Holy Spirit. If you looked at the life of Jesus, the summary of Jesus' life is total dependence on the Holy Spirit. From His birth to His resurrection. Every aspect of your life that is independent of the Holy Spirit will not be numbered in eternity, because it will not be seen. It will not be reckoned with. It will not have a relevance in God, and it will not even be known. That aspect of you will look as if it didn't exist. Have you watched a movie before? And then maybe when the movie was taking place, as they were recording the movie, they now cut some part of it. You will watch the movie and then it will jump. Or you are listening to a message because there was an issue. Then you are hearing the preacher saying something, and then they cut it. And then you just go to the end of the message. Because that part was removed. That is what your life will look like without the Holy Spirit. Every aspect of your life that the Holy Ghost is not completely in charge of, it will be edited out. It will not appear in eternity, because God can't see it. The Holy Spirit is the only means through which God can make reference to you. Did you not notice that even when Jesus completed His perfect sacrifice, a sacrifice satisfied the claims of divine justice,
but there was no way God could see it. So the Bible said in Hebrews chapter 9 verse 14 that he was offered up by the eternal spirit. Unless that sacrifice was offered in the Holy Spirit, God could not see it, even though it was perfect. Any life that is void of the Holy Spirit is a life that never existed. The Bible said in the book of Matthew chapter 1 verse 18 to 20, he said Mary was found with child of the Holy Ghost. So the conception of Jesus was what? Of the Holy Ghost. That means as powerful as God was, it was impossible for Jesus to come into this world except as the Holy Ghost conceived him. The Bible said in Luke chapter 1 verse 35, he said the Spirit of the Lord will come upon you, the power of the Most High will overshadow you, and that thing that will be formed in you will be called the Son of the Highest. So the Son of God could not come into this world as powerful as God was, except the Holy Ghost was the one that trafficked him into this realm. The whole ministry of Jesus Christ was by the Holy Spirit. Jesus said, the works that I do, the Father that is in me is the one that doeth it. Everywhere Jesus went to, he was led and inspired by the Holy Ghost. In Matthew chapter 4 verse 1, Luke chapter 4 verse 1, the Bible said he was led. He was led into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. When was the last time you did something because the Holy Ghost inspired you? You have become so intelligent. Meanwhile, it is written that it is not given to man that walketh to order his steps. Because everything you do, no matter how intelligent it looks like, is foolishness. Because you can be a manipulated species in the hand of a spirit. Jesus, he was the Son of God. He created all things. The Bible said, all things were made by him. Without him was not anything that was made that was made. Meanwhile, when Jesus came into this world, he still had to be led by the Holy Spirit. It's just like you coming to your homeroom. The parlor you dressed, the bedroom you set, you needed to depend on God to lead you. That was the kind of life Jesus lived. He created this world, but he understood that life has no relevance apart from the Holy Spirit. So he submitted himself to the Holy Ghost. He was led by the Spirit of God. Have you not noticed why many things don't work? Some of the decisions you have taken in the last 5 years are dislocated decisions. You are supposed to be in Makurdi, but you have found yourself in Congo, and then you are seeking the will of God. Before that thing happened, the Holy Ghost had to. How many of you have read, you have entered these vehicles that have navigators? You know, when you enter a vehicle that has a navigator, you can program your journey. As you are going, if you violate the direction that you are supposed to follow to get to that journey, the navigator will begin to alert you that you are taking the wrong route. What the navigator will do is that it will begin to recalculate for you. Shortest means you will follow to get to your destination again, because you have violated the programmed pathway that you should go. Jesus knew that every step he needed to take was already programmed in the Holy Spirit, so he followed the Holy Spirit. Some of us have made wrong decisions. The last 5 years of our life, we were going in the wrong direction. For us to get back to destination now, the Holy Ghost has to renavigate. And that renavigation may take you 3 months of fasting. That renavigation may take you 6 months of prayer before you find the bearing to return back to where the Holy Ghost needs to carry you in order to enter into your destiny. You need to be renavigated. Jesus had this perfect understanding. When you look at the life of Jesus, he didn't do the things he did because he was the Son of God. If Jesus did what he did because he was the Son of God, God would have been on it. When Jesus came into this world, he had to be exactly like you and I in order to satisfy the claims of divine justice. So Jesus depended on the Holy Spirit completely to do the things he did. And that is why Jesus tells you that you can do the same thing that he does. And how did he do it? By relying on the Holy Spirit. If your life is not being directed by the Holy Spirit, how do you ever imagine you are going to satisfy the will of God? He said he was led of the Spirit. He was led of the Spirit. Even the mighty works that Jesus did was by the Holy Spirit. The Bible said how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power. Some of us want to walk in power. We are going to read books. You want to read the secret of the healing anointing. You will know the secret. You will climb all the scriptures, but you will see nothing. Because it is the power of the Holy Spirit that makes it happen. The Bible said when Jesus returned in Luke chapter 4 verse 14, he said he returned in the power of the Holy Spirit. In Luke chapter 4 verse 18, he said the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He has anointed me. He has anointed me to heal the sick, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to heal the brokenhearted. So he knew that it was the Holy Spirit working. Especially for we, this young generation. You know, we can be very arrogant. When you know one or two secrets, then you become a preacher on Facebook. You know, Facebook is an easy platform. If you have data, you can become an apostle on Facebook. Have you noticed that in recent times? There are many evangelists on Facebook. Many Facebook evangelists. Without the investment of the Holy Spirit. He said everything he did was by the Holy Ghost. If Jesus depended on the Holy Ghost like that, who are you? Have you thought about it? The reason you can't is because you don't see the need to depend on the Holy Spirit. So when you go to pray, you have other plans. Have you not noticed that when there is a crisis that you don't have any way out, that day you pray for 5 hours, you don't notice time is going. But every other time you have a way out, that's when you go to pray and say, "Ah, Jesus, thank you for your love. Yeah, Holy Spirit. Ah, you have been chasing for 5 hours. It's around 11:30 p.m. when you finish that movie that you wanted to sleep, you now come and say, Lord, I love you. I honor you. Thank you for the gift of life. Thank you for everything." What is everything? Thank you, Lord, for everything. And then you doze off. You don't see the need to depend on the Holy Spirit. Jesus will leave a crusade and he will go to the mountain and pray till morning. Because he knows if he doesn't receive the whisper for the next day, he is lost. And according to the writing of the prophet, everything that was written concerning him must be fulfilled. Everything must be fulfilled. And they didn't tell him when he was coming. He needed to depend on the Holy Ghost to hear it. If you are told you cannot go out of the room tomorrow unless you hear where God will tell you to go to, you will pray all through the night. But you don't know the meaning of life. You don't know the weight, the demands of God concerning your life. Most of you have no idea what God planned concerning you. Because you came from a poor family, you think it's all about poverty. So you judge your father. Your father has one bicycle. Your ambition is to have a bike. You people, you rented 3-bedroom flat, so you are hoping you will build your own house. So your big ambition in life is to build a house. You don't have an idea. There are some of you here today who are still attending clubs. The nation of Brazil, the future of Brazil is in your hand. But you don't have an idea. You don't know what God is thinking. Most of you, the Senate, in the next 5 years, the decision that will change this country is resting in your hand. But you don't have an idea. Jesus knew when he came into this world that his destiny was to save mankind. So there was no time for jokes. Somebody said Jesus is a very humorous person, but he never cracked one joke all his life. At least it was not recorded in the Bible. You don't know what God is expecting of you. Sometimes you need to pray for God to grant you access to see into the Spirit and know what God thinks concerning your life. You who is begging for bread, begging for direction every day, if God helps you, then you will discover that there will be no Nigeria tomorrow unless you rise. You don't have an idea. Jesus knew the life of men depended on him. There were days when he will pray all through the night, and then he will minister till evening, and then he will go praying again till early in the morning, and he will join the apostles. He will go to the other side of the river. He will heal the madman. They will send him back. He will go for another crusade and go back, because he knew he can't take a step unless the Holy Ghost speaks. Have you come to that point when you know you don't have the right move unless God speaks? You don't have the right. The Bible said it's not given to man that walketh to order his step. It's not given to you. Every time you move apart from the voice of God, you have erred. And that step you take, you may never recover from it again, no matter the intervention of God. You don't understand the heavy matters of the kingdom. You think your life is all about getting a good job. So God raised you to get a good job. How about the people who are going to employ you who don't know God? Most of you, your biggest breakthrough in life will be to work for Dangote. Dangote is not a Christian. He doesn't know God. So who told you the goal of God is to be so gracious to you so that you have a good job? The man who is giving you that job don't know God. He should tell you there is something about your life that is deeper than your job. After what will you make your ambition? Ambition in life is to get a good job. It's a waste of a life. And most of the time, because we are not where they instructed. Jesus had a better understanding.
The Bible said in the volume of the books, it is written concerning me. I come to do thy will, O God. And that will, he doesn't know it in his head. He depended on the Holy Spirit to tell him every day. So the Bible said he was led of the Spirit. He was led. That's how important the Holy Ghost is. Even when he died, Jesus walked by eternal life. He walked by faith. He walked by the Holy Spirit. And he walked with the assistance of the angelic realm. But a time came when eternal life did not work. A time came when faith did not work. A time came when the angelic did not work. He had to let go of all of those things, because for him to fulfill the mandate of Zion, he had to die. So when he died and all the economy that powered him failed, the only thing that came through was the Holy Spirit. Jesus knew that when everything fails, the only thing you can bank on is the Holy Spirit. And the Bible said he was raised back to life by the glory of the Father. In Romans chapter 6 verse 4. He had understanding. Have you come to that point in your life where you know there's nothing, you can't be anything apart from the Holy Spirit. You can't be anything. It doesn't matter if your father is the president. I keep telling this story. We were serving in 2012. A friend of mine, his father was a director with ARIC. He had already concluded the whole paper that the moment we pass out from NYC, the guy will become a deputy manager in ARIC. Around 2012, he would have been a big boy. These were guys that during the service day, they were driving very heavy cars. Heavy cars. They don't know whether they are paying NYC and Lawi. What do they have to do in 1980? What is 1980? They spend money every night. Money. They spend money. These are guys that go out, they carry 100,000 as coppers. They don't know anything about the Lawi. His life was made. He was just waiting to pass out. NYC was a waste of time. 2 weeks to passing out, his father died. 2 weeks. The father died. All the father's friends that would call him and check up on him, none of them were picking his calls again. Because what created their relationship with him was no more. And they owe him no allegiance. The Bible says, woe unto the man that putteth his trust in the arm of flesh. Most of us, our confidence is in men. And that is why we treat God with levity, with disdain, and with reproach. If you know your life depends on the Holy Spirit, you begin to live like Jesus Christ. He didn't step out of his house unless he heard God. That's how to live. The compass of life is the voice of God. You don't move unless God speaks. How many of you live like that? You say you are a Christian. You think Christianity is a title. Christianity is life in the Spirit. It's called life in the Spirit. Many of us are called Christian, but we don't know the ABCs of Christianity. We have not started being Christians. We just know what is called, and we are called because we are born into Christian homes. Christianity is life in the Spirit. Even when your life fails and nothing works, even when your faith fails, you know there is a being called the Holy Ghost. That's why it's so important to know him. Even the very teachings of Jesus, the Bible said, Jesus said in Luke 4:18, he said, the Holy Ghost have anointed me to preach the gospel. I thought it was the word of God. The Bible said in the beginning was the word was with God, and the word was God. He said the same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and there was not anything that was made except by him. He was the word. He didn't need anything to share the word of God, but he understood that the word of God would be dead except as it is empowered by the Holy Ghost. So when he spake, he said, the words I speak to you, they are spirit and they are life. They are spirit and they are life. In Acts of the Apostles chapter 1 verse 2, he said when he gave commandment to the apostles by the Holy Spirit, by the Holy Spirit. That was the man that understood and knew who the Holy Ghost was. If your life is not centered around the Holy Ghost, you don't know him yet. Forget all this nonsense that people are arguing about speaking in tongues. Are we supposed to speak in tongues? We are not supposed to speak in tongues. You don't know the Holy Spirit. You don't even know the Holy Ghost. You are talking about engaging him. If your life is not built on the Holy Spirit, you don't have the right to argue about tongues or no tongues. Because you don't even know the one you are talking about. So what is the use of tongues? Some of us, our prayer have no difference with the Muslim man. Because when we are praying, we don't even have confidence in anything. What is the difference between your prayer and the prayer of the Hausa man? It is the Holy Spirit. And you don't know him. Who is the Holy Ghost? I wish. You know, there are some topics that they are not meant for
15 minutes meeting. Because even the background, you can't create the background to enter the topic. You can't create the background. The summary of your life is called the outworking of the Spirit. The degree to which God is manifested through you is the summary of your life. It's not the number of years you lived, or the haircut, or the good looks. Those are mundane things. Will not translate into time. Will not translate into eternity, rather. Who is the Holy Ghost? Who knows the Holy Spirit here? Who knows the Holy Spirit? If I say, who is the Holy Ghost now? Most of us, we talk about him, but we don't know him. If you ask Abraham, who is God? He will tell you, God is El Shaddai. You know why? He has experienced the supplier of all the needs of humanity. So he's not defining God. He's telling you an experience. Are you with me now? If you ask Moses, who is God? He will tell you, God is the I am that I am. The one that is ever present. That has authority over creation. He's not trying to tell you about God. He's relating to you an experience. They don't define a spirit. They communicate his reality. So Abraham knew the El Shaddai. Because it was the El Shaddai that gave a child to a barren woman. It was the El Shaddai that gave a child to an impotent man. It was the El Shaddai that made a man that had nothing to become rich in gold, in cattle, and in silver. So when he said God is El Shaddai, he's telling you about the experience, his intimacy with the Spirit. Moses will tell you, God is I am that I am. The one that caused the waters to come out of the rock. The one that can enter into a land. People who were in captivity for 400 years. Only by his words, the nation is bound and they come out in victory. He's communicating an experience. When I ask you, who is the Holy Spirit? If you begin to give me a theological answer, it's because you don't know. You don't know him. The Holy Ghost is not a theological document. It's not a doctrine. It's not a doctrine. It's a person. It's a person. He has a will. He has emotion. He has a mind. He's the third person on the God of the Godhead. And your experience of him is the only thing you can talk about him. Because God is beyond, is past finding out. You can't talk about his reality. The dimension of him you have experienced is what you can communicate, and when you communicate him, his reality will be trafficked. Who is the Holy Spirit? I came to ask you that question tonight. Who is the Holy Ghost? Who is the Holy Ghost? To some, he is the dimension of the wisdom of God. God spoke concerning Bezalel and Oholiab in Exodus 33, verse 1 to 3. He said, I have put upon him the spirit of wisdom, and he is going to be skilled in every work of craftsmanship. So for Bezalel and Oholiab, the Holy Spirit is the spirit of wisdom. Because his life is a revelation of the wisdom of God. The things that God showed Moses on the mount, the guy was not there. But through the wisdom of the Holy Spirit, he was able to create that thing. And it was exactly like what was shown Moses in the mount. The Holy Spirit in the life of Bezalel was a wisdom of God. Temple that he built, the presence of God could descend on it any day, any time. It became the tabernacle of the congregation. Every time God wants to appear in the visible realm, that thing that Bezalel built became a doorway to heaven. Many years later, the dimensions that young man trapped, many years later, when the message of Jesus was to be brought to this world, it was in that same temple that the angel Gabriel appeared. That guy, through the wisdom of God, he was able to create a gate from heaven to earth. He was able to bridge the natural realm with the supernatural realm through an infrastructure in the physical world. How was he able to enter into that kind of wisdom that he could build something on earth that could host the dimensions of heaven? He knew the Spirit of God. For him, the Spirit of God is the spirit of wisdom. When you ask Moses, who is the Holy Ghost? He will tell you he is power. He is power. People are in captivity for 430 years. He speaks by the Spirit. And a king that was the ruler of all the world, who
could not dare challenge him. That was the same temple that Moses ran away from as a coward. But he contacted the spirit. By the backside of the mountain, the Bible said in Horeb, he saw the spirit of God. And when he returned to the palace where he ran from, the nation bowed at his feet. The Bible said in Exodus chapter 7 verse 1, he said, I have made you a god unto Pharaoh. By what means will a subject of a king become a god? Because he saw his spirit. When it was written about Moses in the book of Hebrews, the Bible said because he saw him, that was invisible. The guy who ran away from a king, he returned to that same nation. And the king bowed. The nation bowed. How can one man become bigger than a nation? Because he saw a spirit. Who is the Holy Ghost? You ask Daniel, who is the Holy Ghost? He will call him the excellent spirit. Spirit of wisdom. Daniel could travel into the dream of a king at night. He was not there when the king dreamt. But he knew a spirit. He said there is a God that revealed a secret. For Daniel, the spirit of God was the spirit of an excellent being. He knew how to enter into heaven. Daniel knew how to travel into the chambers of your heart and tell you the things that God told you in your hiding place. If Daniel came to your school, he doesn't need to attend your lectures. If he entered the exam hall by this excellent spirit, he can write the marking scheme that the teacher wrote the day before. Even the marking scheme that the teacher wrote many years, Daniel can come and write that marking scheme by an excellent spirit. For him, the Holy Ghost is an excellent spirit. That's how spirits are defined. We don't define spirit by intelligence because they are bigger than our minds. The dimensions of God cannot be trapped in the mind of a man. Ask Paul, who is the Holy Ghost? Paul will tell you the Holy Ghost is the spirit of mystery. It was Paul that said, we are not just servants. He said, we are the stewards of the mysteries of God. It was Paul that revealed. He said, this is the mystery that was seen for all ages. Christ in you, the hope of glory. How did Paul know that it was possible for God to dwell in a mortal vessel? He saw his spirit. He saw his spirit. And by that spirit, he entered into a realm of intelligence that the greatest school of thought in his days could not challenge him. Paul could stand, and when he speak, the wisest of men in his generation. Kings in those days were trained by rabbis. Kings were trained by astrologers. Kings were trained by witches and sorcerers. A king could look at a star and tell you, tomorrow it will not rain, because he is schooled by his spirit. They were the wisest people in their days. Paul stood before two kings, and when he spoke, they say, your knowledge, too much knowledge, have made you mad. The kings could not understand. How does this man speak? How do you speak like this? Who taught you this thing? He knew his spirit. Who is the Holy Ghost? You think it's about gathering scriptures. The scriptures you gathered and crammed from your concordance. You use it to define the spirit. You cannot define the spirit on the strength of your intelligence. You need to find out how the patriarchs engaged him. How did they know this being who is so wise? How did they come in contact with this God who is invisible, dwelling in the realms of Zion? How is it possible for man living on earth to travel into the regions of the heavens? How is it possible for men to download the mind of God? The mind of God, a man who walk into heaven and he will speak, he will say, concerning virgins, God has not spoken to me, but as a man who is faithful, I have been counted worthy. Whatever I say is the mind of God. You don't need to consult with God. If I speak, go to heaven. That is the same thing God will be saying. How did men know how to enter heaven? They could download the things happening in heaven. There were some of them, if they stood now and they tell you now heaven is quiet, you don't need to argue. If you travel heaven, will be quiet. Why? Because they knew the Holy Ghost. It's called the way of the patriarchs. They were men of the spirit. How could a man venture place a name on God? God has no name. Nobody had introduced him before. And suddenly Abraham shows up and he says his name is the El Shaddai. How dare you name a God? You don't give him a name. He had no name. He created all things. The dimensions of the earth, they came out of his prowess. He spoke and heaven appeared. He spoke, the waters appeared. He spoke, the
land appeared. How dare you give a name to him? Are you going to call that kind of person a name? But Abraham feared. He said he's called the El Shaddai, because he saw his spirit. He saw his spirit in the heavens. He saw his spirit. Who is the Holy Ghost? We have young people priding themselves, talking things that they have no understanding about. You don't know the Holy Ghost. And until our generation is taught who the Holy Ghost is, there will be no revival. There will be no hope for the next generation. Why do you think Islam is advancing so much? These guys are not theologians. They only know how to engage the spirit. And that spirit shocks them up. It eats their soul. You will see a young boy of 30 years. He will die for God. And all he will see is, Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. He doesn't care what his life is. He has seen a spirit. And that spirit has eaten up his soul. Kill him, it doesn't count. Kill his father, it doesn't count. All he needs to do is, Allahu Akbar. Who is the Holy Ghost to you? You are living for your appetite. Running about from pole to post. You don't know what life is about. You don't know the Holy Ghost. You have not begun to live, my brother, unless you know the Spirit. Unless you know the Spirit. I didn't come to define the Holy Ghost to you. I know him as the God of mercy. Because when I take my life, I don't deserve anything. He stretched his hand and he picked me from an obscure society. I was a man wandering about in confusion. I didn't know my left from my right. I had nobody to help me. I graduated from the university. There was no hope. But the Spirit appeared to me. And he said, I will make you an apostle to the nations. I know him as the God of mercy. So every time I stand, I say, Lord, show mercy. Show mercy. For me, the Holy Ghost is the God of mercy. I don't know him. I don't know what to call him. Moses called him the God of power. Abraham called him the El Shaddai. Daniel called him the excellent spirit. I don't know what to call him. I don't know what to call him. But Paul called him the God of mystery. Paul called him the God of mystery. Peter called him the God of power. What do you call him? John called him the God of revelation. And on the strength of that revelation, they casted him to the eyes of Patmos. They wanted him to die there. Even in Patmos, the guy said, I was in the spirit on the Lord's day. I was in the spirit on the Lord's day. I was in the spirit in Patmos. Patmos was supposed to be his grave. That was the ground where he was supposed to be buried. But from Patmos, he traveled to heaven. He entered the terminus of Zion. John was carried around in a car through heaven. He knew the great dimensions of heaven because he knew a call. That was a call of revelation. Who is the Holy Ghost to you? I am Kata Kata Kata. My friend Reverend Hughes, a man who was in the university, he had 17 carryovers and he was withdrawn from his first degree, but the Spirit appeared to him and he said, I am Jehovah Academia. And from there, the guy went and made a best class degree. He didn't stop there. He became the overall best graduate student in the university. Why? The failure, he saw Jehovah Academia. And suddenly, his mental power was accelerated. Suddenly, his mental inefficacies were strengthened. Suddenly, his weaknesses became his strength. The very land where he was subdued, he came back there and he was coronated as a prince because he saw his spirit. He saw his spirit. He saw his spirit. You want to see a spirit tonight? Ask the Lord for an encounter. Ask the Lord for an encounter. Weakness. If only you will see the Holy Ghost, it will become the area of strength. Some of you are slaves of sin. If only you will see him, it will become the spirit of righteousness. If you will see him, it will become God, your healer. Your sicknesses can vanish. Your pains can go away. Your sins can be lost. You can become an apostle. You can become a politician. And many years from now, the generations to come will look at you and they will call you blessed. Because you become one of the patriarchs that will define the philosophies of their lives. You will become one of the patriarchs that will define their
ideologies, the systems of the world to come. You could be the one to pioneer it. Moses wrote the laws, and the whole civilizations of the world, they are anchored on the laws of Moses. He is the pattern that defines civilization. Come on! Akatakata!
Some called him Jehovah Arapea. Zakadi, Jehovah Tishkanu. Who is he to you? Who is he to you? Who is the Holy Ghost? You need to engage the Spirit here until you find it. Rakapateteria. Beretena Sateria Pranta Sadar. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Father. Just lift your hands toward heaven. Some of us need the spirit of revival. I want to pray for the Holy Ghost to stir up the hearts of people. Some of you, you are about to be activated in the spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. If you can't, stop praying. It's time to receive. It's time to receive. If you can't, stop praying. You ancient Zion's King, we cry out, Kadosh. You are mighty, you on your throne. You reign, you ancient Zion's King. We cry out, Kadosh. You are mighty on your throne. Break forth, thou fountain stars of the deep. We cry out, Kadosh. You are mighty on your throne. You reign, you ancient Zion's King. Kadosh, Kadosh. You are mighty on your throne. The King of Kings is about to step into this place. You reign. Abrasate teria te pa. You ancient Zion's King.
A gate and an access point into the earth, but you have been rebellious or you've not had the ability. Come. We don't have time, it's a moment of the spirit. Blow like a mighty wind,
spirit of victory.
God has been
doing me.
Blow like a mighty wind,
spirit of victory. Spirit,
us with your wing.
Cover us with your wing. Spirit of victory,
cover us with your wings.
Cover us with your wings.
Listen, listen, listen. The Bible said today is the day of salvation. I don't persuade people to give their hearts to Christ. If the power of God cannot compel you, then even if you come, you will be a waste. The Bible said, him that lay his hand on the plow and turn back is not worthy of the master's work. It's your last opportunity. God is knocking on your heart. Come out now.
I will not raise the alarm again.
Blow
like a mighty wind. Spirit of victory. Cover us with your wings.
Hallelujah. Come on, come on, come on. There's going to be a baptism of the Holy Spirit here. I didn't have time, so I didn't have time to explain a lot of things to you. Most of you that argued whether you are supposed to speak in tongues or not, when the Holy Ghost comes on you and you begin to speak in tongues, go and check the doctrine later. I wish I had time. Hey! Hey, my angels are coming. My angels are coming.
Holy Spirit, overwhelm them with power. Activate gifts of the Spirit. Holy Ghost, one, touch. Holy Ghost, two. Holy Ghost, three. Touch them by power. Sadadesh.
Kai. We're out of time. It's my honor tonight to invite my very own pastor who has been here with us, the Reverend Hughes, to come and lead you to Jesus and to bring the blessings of the Spirit upon you. Come on, let's welcome Reverend Hughes in the Spirit. Welcome him with tongues. Come on, go ahead with tongues. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Listen, when you gave your heart to Jesus, you made two confessions. The first confession you made was that Jesus was resurrected. You confessed his immortality. That's what gave you eternal life. The second confession you made was the Lordship of Jesus.
That one is for service. You can keep making that confession of the Lordship of Jesus over and over. Because as you go further in the kingdom and the righteousness of God is with you, you are going to see many areas of disobedience that you need to obey again. So most of you, the confession you've got to make tonight is the confession of the Lordship of Jesus. You are still born again, but there are areas of disobedience. But you have seen another revelation of the Lord. Thus, choice has found Reverend Hughes.
Praise the Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. And those of you who just answered the altar call, please just raise up your hand toward heaven. Just raise your hand. Paul says, let the lifting up of our hands be as the evening sacrifice. When your hands are raised up, it's a sign of absolute surrender. When your hands are raised up, they are raised for God to lift them up and to begin to help you. Tonight we've received the ministry of the Holy Spirit, and evidently the Holy Spirit is a helper. You'd receive Jesus Christ into your heart today as your Lord. And as you do, He will drop fresh fire into your heart. And those of you who are not yet baptized with the Holy Ghost, you will receive a fresh baptism of the Holy Spirit with the biblical evidence of speaking with new tongues. Those of you who are already baptized, you will become fresh syllables in the Spirit, because God will shift you in the realm of life. Raise those hands toward heaven, high and very high. Pray with me, say, dear Heavenly Father. Let me hear you pray. Say, dear Heavenly Father, tonight I rededicate my heart. I rededicate my life to you. Jesus, I believe you came for me. You died for me. You buried for me. And you rose again the third day for me. I declare you as Lord over my life. I surrender the entirety of my being, spirit, soul, body, situations to you right now. Take all of it, Lord. Take all of me, Lord. I am to myself tonight. Fill me afresh. In Jesus Christ's name. Holy Spirit of God, fill me afresh right now. Fill me afresh right now. Change my heart. Impact the life of Jesus to my heart right now. I receive you afresh. I receive fresh infilling of the Holy Ghost. I receive the freshness of the anointed Lord. And I go ahead speaking with tongues, with new tongues, in the name of Jesus. Go ahead and pray in tongues right now. Every one of you, go ahead and pray in the Holy Ghost. You are receiving. You are receiving right now. Holy Spirit of God is touching you right now. Right now, go ahead. If you didn't know how to speak, right now the Holy Ghost is filling you. And when He fills you sufficiently, you will speak in tongues. Go ahead and pray in the Holy Ghost. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Go ahead and pray in the Holy Ghost. Yes, louder, louder, louder. Receive in Jesus' name. Receive in Jesus' name. Receive in Jesus Christ's name. Receive in Jesus Christ's name. Receive in Jesus Christ's name. Fresh fire. Fresh fire. Fresh fire. Fresh fire. Fresh fire. Fresh fire. By the Holy Ghost. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Fresh fire tonight. Upon you, fresh fire. 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 Thank you, Lord Jesus. Go ahead and sing in the Holy Ghost. There are activations of the gift of the Holy Ghost. Go ahead and sing in the Spirit.
If I speak in tongues, if I sing in the Holy Ghost, go ahead and sing in the Holy Ghost. Go ahead and sing in the Holy Ghost. Everyone in the hall, go ahead and sing in the Holy Ghost. There is fresh baptism. There is fresh impartation. There is fresh unction. Go ahead and pray in the Holy Ghost. Sing in the Holy Ghost.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Everybody rise and worship.
Hallelujah.
Rise everyone in the name of Jesus. Rise in the name of Jesus tonight. Worship Him. Go ahead and pray in the Holy Ghost. Sing in the Holy Ghost. Check this atmosphere. We are man of the Holy Ghost.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Listen. It doesn't just end with speaking in tongues. Some of you have contacted a fresh hunger. As you live here, you are going to begin to receive instructions to fast, to pray, and some of you it will be for a long time. A new government has been instituted over your life. That's what leads to transformation. As you live, hearken quickly to those instructions of the Spirit. The moment Jesus was baptized, as he came out of the water spraying, the Bible said the Spirit led him into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. He obeyed immediately. And 40 days later, the Bible said he returned in the power of the Spirit and said his fame went abroad. Most of you begin to receive fresh instructions of the Spirit. Do well to obey. That's where the power lies. Hallelujah. That was Reverend Hughes. Reverend Hughes is my pastor. Can you please give Jesus a big hand for him? I came with my friend Apostle Victor Ben. I came with Brother Samson Otsenu. These are my covenant brothers. These are my covenant brothers. And of course, my keyboard is Abba Matthew. We love you and God bless you. Thank you very much.
You are wonderful. You are the Oh Lord. You are. You are worthy, oh, you wonderful, you are.